Hello, welcome to the recording for Sunday the 23rd of August, and I don't have a quiz today. I'm really sorry. I just did not have enough time to prepare it, but also I didn't want to rush the preparation so that you got something that wasn't as good. But we did do a quiz last week, and hopefully, you know, that was enough quizzing for your head. But no, next week there definitely will be a quiz and I will be better prepared. It's just been a busy few days for me. I hope you understand. So we finished quite a few things, and now today, this recording for the children in the way, I don't think it's going to be very different to Ignite. There's no particular sensitive issues, but meant for children in year 7 and above. So today we're starting something new. We're starting to talk about the parables that Jesus told in the Bible. And going to look first at the reasons why he did it and what parables are. And then we'll go into looking at two of the parables in today's session. So Jesus told these really simple, memorable stories. They were easy to remember and easy for people to go ahead and tell others after. So it was a part of the oral tradition of the time. And these stories could easily be told one person to the other, since writing was not that common at that time. The stories and the parables, they use a lot of interesting imagery, and they have a simple message to be passed on. They were often quite surprising and paradoxical, so really contrasting with how people were teaching or doing things at that time. Now, I must give credit where credit is due. A lot of the notes that I've got, they are from a website called swapmeetdave.com. And I found this to be really, really helpful. And that's where I'm taking a lot of my notes from. So it's not all things that I'm making up, just to let you know. Okay, so what is a parable? Deep in my mind, somebody told me a very simple definition for a parable. And it's sort of stuck in there, saying that it's a story with a hidden meaning that teaches a moral lesson. Of course, we have parables or fables that in the world, Aesop, some of the stories that we hear about, Anansi the spider told parables as well. There are lots of interesting little stories about that, usually using the animal kingdom. So parables and telling parables is not a new thing. It wasn't something that Jesus invented. Also, we have parables in the Old Testament. There are 12 parables in the Old Testament, and they're told across 7 books. So if you want a list of that, it's something that I can get for you, if you really wanted to do like a serious study into that. So these stories were messages for, well, not everybody. They were not for, you know, they were just for a specific group of people. And we find throughout the Bible that God does that. God chooses a certain group of people. So that's not an unusual idea. To start off with, he chose Noah and his family to be the only people to survive the flood. He chose Abraham to have a covenant with. He chose Jacob over Esau. So throughout the Bible, we see God choosing a certain group of people and setting them apart. Even Jesus did it. Jesus chose 12 men that would walk closer to him. They were not the only disciples that Jesus had, or the only followers of his word and his ministry, but he set aside those 12 that we all know and love, apart from everyone else, and they were the ones that he would tell even more detailed information to. So parables were an idea that a certain group of people would fully understand, the people that knew the secrets of the kingdom of God, and the people that had opened their minds to understand these things, they would understand the parables easier. And the parables made people think. They were interesting, and they were a different way of thinking, and they really did make people think. So the first parable we're going to look at is in just one verse, and it comes from Matthew chapter 9, verse 16. Okay, if you're opening your Bibles, just give you a second to do so. So in Matthew chapter 9, verse 16, it says, "No one sews a patch of unshrunk new cloth on an old garment, for the patch will pull away from the garment, making the tear worse." And the second parable is the next verse, Matthew chapter 9, verse 17. And it says, "Neither do men pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skins will burst, the wine will run out, and the wineskin will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved." So if we look at the audience that Jesus was talking to, these were people of his time, obviously, but there was a mixture of his disciples, the disciples of John the Baptist, and also the Pharisees and Sadducees would have been in the crowd. So he took a story that people would understand, because this was part of the culture. When you have old wineskins, the skin of the wine skin would have stretched. Because when you put wine in new wineskin, the wine continues to ferment because of the gases exchange. And as it does that, it produces more gas. And as that gas is produced, it forces the wineskin to stretch. So that's the normal process. Put new wine into new wineskins, and then when that gas exchange happens during fermentation, and more gas is produced, then the new wineskin would stretch to accommodate that. But if you put new wine in old wineskin, the skin is already hardened and it doesn't have any give left in it. It doesn't have any more stretching to do. So when all those gases are produced, then the wineskin would burst, because it cannot take the pressure. And then you would lose both the wineskin and the wine. The same idea is taken in the first parable, where it's talking about the cloth being sewn onto an old, new cloth being sewn onto an old coat. So if you have a coat that you've worn several times and washed several times, the material is going to shrink. And if you put new cloth on that, that new material has not shrunken yet. So when you wash it again, it's going to shrink and make an even bigger hole and a big mess. So that's it. And what Jesus' idea is that the good news that he was bringing would not fit into the old Jewish religion or the old Jewish laws and their system of animal sacrificing and all the other ideas that they had. Now, people would not want to give up ideas that were comfortable and familiar, especially since a lot of these Jewish ideas had been taught since they were young. So people had grown up with Jewish laws and all of that. But Jesus's new ideas, they were, and the good experiences and the good teachings that he was bringing, it was not going to fit perfectly in with the old religion. you could not put it in old religious context and make it fit. So we have to, because if you do that, you will destroy both the old religion and the new, because the two would not fit together. Jesus' message, even for us today, is that the words that he teaches and the things that he was teaching are new, fresh, and transformative. They were going to change your life. You had to move away from every other thing and change the way you thought about things, change the things you were doing, and change the way you were experiencing life to really get Jesus's message. And becoming a Christian is just like that. It's taking on a whole new life and new ideas, a new way of seeing people, of seeing things, and of understanding the experiences we go through. It's not just another religion to be tagged on to and taken into the world. You know, Jesus then and now turns the whole world upside down. It's totally different to what the Jews were teaching, and it was slightly different to what John the Baptist was teaching. It was a deeper faith in what Jesus was teaching. So it was a big challenge. And he used this message of the wineskin and the old cloth to explain that you had to change your life completely to understand this message and to really grasp what he wanted you to do with your life. So let's open our hearts to receiving Jesus and Jesus' new way of thinking, his new message. Let's not sort of like think about what we like and are comfortable with. So I hope that looking into these two parables has helped you and gives you an idea of what we're going to be talking about in the next few weeks. So let's pray before we close. Lord, I just thank you for these parables. I thank you for the hidden meaning inside them. I pray that you will help us to understand them more, and that we will dedicate our lives into knowing you better and understanding your ways. Bless us in all the things that we do, especially as we're getting ready for going back to school. We pray that people are healthy and people are emotionally prepared and financially prepared and prepared on every level, really, to work hard and do the best they can in these rather difficult times. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I hope that you're thinking about those early waking up sessions and going to school, or the long holiday is over, the lockdown is over, well, overish, and we still need to be careful, but I pray that God helps you in all that you do. Take care. Bye.